Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, do remember you can contact us via the mail as well. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also remember that we have a great resource available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, the book Immortal by Clay Jones, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. It's an incredible book. In fact, we just released a podcast that I did with Clay Jones on this very subject. So you can go to wherever podcasts are heard, or you can go to equip.org. I got a new boombox for my 40th anniversary, and all I have to say is, hey, Google, I want to listen to the Hank Unplugged podcast, and it just comes up automatically. I'm not very technical, but it's quite amazing, to be honest with you. I don't know what the pros and cons are. Really, I've never really thought it through. Perhaps I ought to do that. Anyway, the number to dial, as just mentioned, to get your questions answered on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Jason, listening in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Jason's listening on the web. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering why somebody would want to go to heaven and be around a God who was torturing other people for eternity.
Well, God doesn't torture other people for all eternity. There's nothing in the whole of Scripture, nor in a biblical worldview, nor in the teachings of the early church fathers, that supposes that God tortures people. People are tormented because they voluntarily have distanced themselves from God, which is a torment in itself, because we are created for fellowship with God, not to be distanced from God. But you have to remember that hell as well is God's great complement to the reality of human freedom and to the dignity of human choice. And you can imagine, if someone spent a lifetime voluntarily distancing themselves from God and then find themselves involuntarily dragged into his presence for all eternity. So the alternative hell would be worse than hell itself. And that, for a lot of reasons, it would rob human beings of freedom and dignity by forcing them into a heaven against their free choice. So just as people have free choice in this life, they're going to have free choice with respect to the life that is to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's certainly better than being tortured, but is it just going to be stuck in a dark place, like with no God as for eternity? Why not just let people die?
Well, that's a good question, actually. And I think the answer to that question is that non-existence is not better than any kind of existence. To affirm that nothing can be better than something, I think, is a gigantic category mistake. So God does not arbitrarily wipe out the crowning jewels of his creation just because they have chosen to live apart from him. He continues to instead sustain them in existence, albeit away from his goodness and his grace, because that is precisely what they want. So God gives people what they want. Same thing in this life. I mean, if someone decides that they do not want to have a relationship with God, God doesn't force that relationship on them. You know, for love to be meaningful, it has to be voluntary. It cannot be coerced.
Right. I was under the impression that if you don't believe in the gospel message that you go to hell and you're tortured forever. So certainly you've given me a different perspective on it.
Well, I'm glad you called, Jason, and if you have any further questions, be happy to answer them for you.
Okay. Thanks, Hank. Have a good one.
You too. And, as I said, without choice, love would be rendered meaningless. I've mentioned many times on this broadcast that God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people, nor is he a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love him. Instead, God, the very personification of love, grants us freedom of choice. And that freedom, of course, will then provide a persuasive polemic for the existence of hell. And, you know, common sense as well, I think, is a powerful argument in this regard. It dictates that there has to be a hell, because without a hell, the wrongs of Hitler's Holocaust will never be righted. And justice would certainly be impugned if, after slaughtering 6 million Jews, maybe 13 million people in all, maybe much, much more, that Hitler merely dies in the arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences. And as I've said, the ancients knew better than to think such a thing. Common sense told Abraham that the judge of the earth would do right. And surely there would be no real justice were there no place of punishment for the demented souls of Stalin and Hitler, people who initiated the merciless slaughter of multiplied millions of people. So God's justice demands that there is a hell. And, I think it's also important to realize that common sense in and of itself dictates that without hell, there's no need for a savior. I don't think a whole lot needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there is no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation. Without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's no need for a savior. So as much as we may wish to think that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. I've written about this in various places. I think in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, also my book, Resurrection. So two different resources available to answer this particular question. Phil in Los Angeles, California. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
And I hope you're doing well health-wise.
I am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My question for you today is, does God view all sins the same? Has degrees of sin? Does he consider some sins worse than other sins? Or are they all the same in his eyes?
No. I mean, they're not all the same. All sin is sin, but not all sin is equal. So let's imagine that someone has a murderous thought or an angry thought in their heart. Well, that is not the same as carrying out that thought and murdering someone. So the actual murder of a person is a far graver sin than thinking a murderous thought. So there certainly are degrees of sin. There's also degrees of punishment for the sin that we commit. So just as there are degrees of reward in heaven, so too there are degrees of punishment in hell.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I just wanted a confirmation. We were having that debate with someone, and I basically said if God rewards some people for their faithfulness in heaven, then there must be some sort of degrees of punishment in hell. But I just wanted a confirmation, and I thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome. And I think, as I was just talking to you, about what Jesus said when he was in Capernaum, I believe. And here he is displaying his power, his majesty, doing miracles, demonstrating that he's God in human flesh. And they won't believe. not because they can't believe, but they won't believe. And the statement of our Lord is that if that kind of thing had been done even in Sodom, they may have well repented in sackcloth and ashes. So, you know, the Lord has made himself available to us. That's just like what you find in Luke chapter 16. You know, when the rich man wants to go back and, or have someone go back and warn his five brothers that they do not come to a place of torment, the enigmatic reply is they have Moses and the prophets. They don't believe that. They won't believe even someone rises from the dead. We are coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And again, my thanks to all of you who stand with this ministry and make it possible around the world. Be right back, 888-ASK-HANK.
Too often, we concentrate on the short time we have on Earth and ignore the reality that we're going to live forever. Clay Jones wrote the monumental book, Immortal, to ensure that you enjoy a life free from fear of death and focused on forever. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Is there life after death? For many people, the prospect of death is terrifying. They try to live as long as possible, hoping that science will find a way to extend their lives. Most of us are in denial about death. What if the solution is not denying death's reality, but recognizing it and relishing the reality that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we will live fantastically forever? In his book, Immortal, Clay Jones explores the ways people face death and highlights the truth that God offers a path to our deepest longing, glorious resurrection to eternal life. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines, Mark in Alexander, Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
First of all, I just want to say, man, I've been listening to you for a long time, man. You've been a blessing to my life. I think I got my answer in the last call, but the first call, I was a little confused. I always thought that hell would be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I just learned something from you explaining to the last caller. Like, I know about heaven, it's going to be levels of rewards or crowns that people will be given and receive. But I didn't know that it would be different levels of torture or different levels of hell for people like Hitler or people who did outlandish things to while they were on Earth. So,
yes.
I mean, I think listening while I was holding, I heard some stuff that I was looking for. So.
Yeah, and of course, hell is no laughing matter. Nothing is more ghastly and grim than the biblical language that is used to describe hell. I mean, it's described as darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as you allude to. And it's described as a fiery furnace. It's described as a lake of burning sulfur. The torment there is said to be everlasting and unquenchable and eternity. So the horror of hell is a horror that Jesus continually warned his followers to avoid. And he used hyperbolic language in the process. So you might recall that Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And even as I'm speaking, I think of the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in glory, when all of the angels come with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on the right, the goats on his left, and then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So hell is nothing to trifle with. But hell, ultimately, as I said to the previous caller, is God giving people precisely what they want. But the Bible uses all of these images simply to communicate the horror of being forever separated from God's goodness and his grace and his glory. Because we as human beings were made for union with God. And the inverse of that, or the absence of that, is a horror that is hard to describe.
Right. Hey, can I ask you one quick question, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know he'll wipe away all our tears once we get to heaven. And, like, I've heard, I'm not really clear on it, but, like, okay, I know I have family members I'm not trying to judge that I don't think we're saved, you know, just not trying to judge, but like my dad, I never heard him talk much about Christ. I know my mother's saved. She made sure I went to church. She's the one that showed me how to follow Jesus and introduced me to Jesus. Now, will we have any remembrance of our loved ones that didn't make it to heaven? Or will we know about them and remember them? And of course, I think
yeah.
it'd be kind of sad to think about someone we love.
Yeah, I don't think, Mark, that we're going to have less knowledge. We're going to have more knowledge. But our knowledge is also going to be informed properly. How's it going to be informed? Well, we are going to see things rightly. We're going to see that God is an absolutely just and righteous judge, that he does everything perfectly. So we'll see things from God's perspective. And I oftentimes say it's sort of like being in a courtroom. Let's imagine you were an eyewitness to a crime. You knew exactly what happened. You watched it. You saw. what took place, and now you're in the courtroom, and you see that the judge ends up making a perfect judgment according to all of the available data. Well, that is how we'll feel in eternity, that God never does anything capricious. He gives people precisely what they want. And I think also we have to keep in mind in this whole conversation that it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. All of us have revelation. We have the revelation of the sun, moon, and stars. We have God's knowledge written on the canvas of our consciousness. And the proof of Scripture has always been that if we follow light, we will receive light. It's when you despise light that that light becomes darkness. So as long as people are willing to follow light, God will give them more light. But some people simply don't want light. They repress light because they want to stay in darkness.
Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor, and thanks for your help, man. I appreciate everything you do.
You got it. Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate your call. Mike in Stafford, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hey. Good afternoon, Hank. I just wanted to say a big thanks to Hank. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I'm privileged to do the job that I do, really, as a result of people that make this possible.
Yep.
You know, there are people that I say oftentimes and thank on this show. They stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and have for many, many years. And so, I'm deeply grateful for that.
Well, you're doing a good job, and keep it up. And you touched on one thing that I was hoping you were going to touch on with some of the discussion that you've been having, was the separation from God. And that's what I learned that years ago that brought a whole new light to everything. If we can just realize the blessings that we're given in this world and the blessings that we turn away, and if we are to go into hell, it's an eternal separation from the love of God. And that's the suffering that we deal with.
Yeah, that's right. Well said. Hey, Mike, thanks for your encouragement. It's deeply appreciated. Let me see if I can get another one or two calls in quickly. Dina in British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Dina.
Yes, hello. I'm just calling about your comments on death.
Yes.
When we die, the righteous are going to be raised. The wicked are going to be destroyed when Jesus comes. And Daniel is not in heaven. So if Daniel's not in heaven, none of us go to heaven when we die. I mean, that's Catholic teaching.
Well, really, whatever it is, what you have to do is always ask, is it biblical? Is this what we are taught in the Bible? Is this what we are taught through holy tradition? And the answer is no. The answer is that when you die, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. I alluded to the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16. But that parable makes very clear that when you die, you're either in the presence of God in comfort, or you are absent that comforting present in torment, presence in torment. And of course, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that the wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction. And then he says, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. So when we die, we will indeed either be in eternal bliss, or we will be subject to everlasting destruction. Jesus himself made that emphatic. He said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. I've written about this again for all listening in my book Resurrection, as well as my book Afterlife, what you need to know about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences. Again, my teachings are teachings that are either coinciding with the Word of God and with Holy Tradition or not, and that's really the way to test them. Test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And of course, Holy Tradition gave us the Scriptures. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those I didn't have an opportunity to get to. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk to you in the near future, maybe tomorrow. And in the meantime, I think it's important to get a hold of this book, Immortal, because it sort of touches on the subject matter that we've been talking about on this broadcast today in response to your question. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Immortal by Clay Jones is about the fear of death, about how humans outside of Christ, and all too often even those in Christ, feebly try to manage that fear, and about how you, dear Christian, can overcome the fear of death through developing a robust appreciation of the glory that awaits all of us who trust in the Lord Jesus. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
In recent years, fewer Americans pray, trust in God, believe in the Bible, or attend church. But paradoxically, Americans have become more likely to believe in an afterlife. One explanation is the rise in entitlement, expecting special privileges without effort. Tell a generation they are good, unrelated to their behavior or performance, and they will think they should be able to live forever, regardless of how they act or believe. Clay Jones wrote Immortal to explain the truth that we will live forever, but our destination is determined by our relationship with Christ and in Him how we live our lives. To receive your copy of Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.